sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Vic Smith.
At every trough you stop to feed. With your arrogance, your ignorance and greed. Now here come the cuts and redundancy. Through the absolute indifference, the avarice, incompetence, your arrogance, your ignorance, your greed.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. A couple of quick quotes on the potential of a government shutdown, brought to us by our Republican friends. Jeff Flake, who has really been kind of interesting the last couple of days. I mean, I'd always thought of Flake as, you know, off kind of to the farther part of the right. Seems to have found himself, you know, moving a little bit further the other way. He said Republicans always get blamed for a shutdown. It's just the way it is. Lindsey Graham chimed in to believe that you can successfully blame Democrats for a shutdown over the DACA debate is naive. Orrin Hatch, we always do get blamed for a shutdown, even when it's their fault. And I would argue this is in no way, shape, or form the Democrats' fault. Because look, one, shouldn't have come down to this. But two, you've got a Republican in the White House, you've got a Republican Speaker of the House and majority in the House, and you've got a Republican-led Senate. It seems to me that they control all the levers. They could make a deal if they wanted to. I'm here to talk about the potential. It might happen. Who knows? We will see. I'm hoping it's not, but we'll see. I've asked Sam Berger to come talk with us. He's a senior policy advisor over at the Center for American Progress. Sam, thanks for taking time for us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
So I look at this, and you know, the first thing that pops to my mind is, you know, this is just dumb. I mean, it's horribly disruptive. And look, it should never even be, because I don't even think we should have a silly cap.
Well, I mean, I think you get right to the issue. I mean, it's incredibly wasteful to shut the government down. When you have a situation here where, you know, President Trump has said, if you get me a bipartisan deal, I'll sign it. There's a bipartisan deal out there. And when it comes to him, he says, well, no, actually, I won't. You know, it seems like he's really trying to hurdle us towards a shutdown. And, you know, this is something he said he's wanted in the past. And by all evidence, it's something he's trying to get right now. But there's no reason for it. There's a bipartisan deal that can address a lot of important issues. And it's just a matter of President Trump being willing to take the deal.
And a lack of leadership, I would argue. I mean, at the end of the day, Republicans control all the levers of power. To me, it's that simple. But here's the thing. And I'm sure you know this because you've been involved intimately with a shutdown in the past. The amount of, and this is where I guess it comes down to me being, you know, just fiscally responsible. The amount of money that we waste shutting down and then starting back up a very large government across this country is just one, wasteful spending, but two, just like I said, just kind of dumb, because it's not like flipping a switch on and off, is it?
No, I mean, first of all, it takes a tremendous amount of planning on the front end to get prepared, you know, even to figure out who's going to be coming in to work to perform those activities that continue and who won't be, setting up structures, communicating with everybody. You know, and then during the shutdown, obviously, the government's not performing a range of important services. And so that's basically wasting taxpayer money in terms of lost services, as well as, you know, people that are government workers that are sitting home that want to be there doing their job, but instead are legally required to stay at home furloughed. You know, for the 2013 shutdown, the Office of Management Budget determined, you know, there was a waste of billions of dollars. And there's no reason for it. As you said, there's a deal to be had, a deal to be struck. And as you also rightly point out, you know, Republicans have all the levers. So if they wanted to make sure that the government stayed open, they could do it. But by shutting it down, there is going to be a real cost. There's going to be a huge waste of money on the setup, winding it down and starting it back up. And then there's also going to be cost, you know, while the government services aren't being provided should a shutdown occur.
Now, we see that the House has voted to avoid the shutdown. You know, that's happened. This will go to the Senate. Is there any possibility that it won't go through the Senate? I mean, I guess the House was the real contentious place, right?
Well, I mean, the solution is to put forward a bill that that's not going to be able to pass muster in the Senate. I mean, this isn't a real effort. This is an attempted blame shifting. And, you know, we've seen this in the past, you know, where the House can't reach a reasonable conclusion. And so instead they shift to the right, put forward a bill that's never going to survive in the Senate and, you know, try and shift the blame there. But ultimately, there's a bipartisan deal. You know, there are more senators that are supporting the bipartisan deal than supporting any sort of partisan bill coming out of the House. And so it's really a non-starter. It's not a serious proposal at all.
Right.
If they were trying to avoid a shutdown, they'd be engaging in a robust debate with their colleagues across the aisle in the House as well as the Senate to figure out how to, you know, nail down the last details on this bipartisan deal, take that deal, and move forward.
You know, one of the last things I had seen come out is that, you know, on one side, the Children's Health Insurance Program was going to be extended for a bit of time. There was going to be some rolling back of some taxes on the ACA, and both sides seem to be okay with that, you know, moving forward. Do these belong in there? I mean, honestly, should the chip thing be into this? Should more tax cuts for you know, businesses and all that, should this be in this argument?
Well, I mean, I think the problem is that Republicans have delayed addressing all of these important priorities while they tried to move forward on this terrible tax bill. I mean, that's why we're in the situation that we're
right.
in. This is stuff that could have been solved months and months and months ago. But instead of that, they spent all their time and energy making sure that they could, you know, give huge tax giveaways to their donors, to large corporations, and even to themselves. Now that they've done that, they've suddenly turned around and said, oh, wow, there's all this stuff we didn't deal with, so we have to do it right now. But then, rather than address all of those problems, you know, they're using CHIP in the most cynical way possible, trying to pit children's health against dreamers, you know, folks that have been in this country since they were very young, who've never really known any home other than the United States. And it's unconscionable. You know, this is, if you wanted to fix these problems, there was a way to fix them months and months and months ago. But to now attempt to use CHIP as a bargaining tool to try and hold children's health care hostage, it's just unconscionable.
I'm right there with you. Now, I do want to go back to your experience, because I understand that, you know, you were intimately part of the last shutdown back in 2013. What was that like?
So I was at the Office of Management and Budget, which is sort of the central part of the government working on budget-related issues. And during a shutdown, we assist the agencies in basically figuring out how to implement the shutdown, how to follow the law, that sort of thing. You know, it's a very intense and complicated time. The government is a large organization that does a lot of really important things, and trying to figure out, you know, what continues and what doesn't is an enormous job. And then, you know, when a funding lapse occurs, there's just things that people haven't anticipated. Situations change, and so it requires a constant effort and response in order to keep track of what's going on and try and make sure, you know, that programs that are required by law continue and those programs that can't stop. And so it's really a huge challenge. And as I said, it takes a tremendous amount of planning on the front end. It takes a tremendous amount of energy while it's happening to try and respond to all of these things. And then it takes a lot of energy to get things started up again. So it's really, and there's no reason for any of it. You know, so it's really a colossal waste of time and resources. And it's sad that, you know, rather than figuring out how to take this bipartisan deal, Republicans are hurtling us towards this shutdown.
Yeah, it's incredible to me. Is Dianne Feinstein being hyperbolic when she says, you know, that people could die from this?
Well, I mean, I think there's always a question about exactly the effects. You know, the programs that protect life and property do continue. So people are going to get there. So Medicare is still going to be there. Social Security is still going to be there. You know, the FBI is going to be pursuing criminals, that sort of thing. The military will still be operating. You know, but there are a lot of important programs that provide, you know, people with assistance that they might need. I think it's always hard to say exactly what the effects will be, but there will be serious consequences, whether it be small businesses that are going to see lost revenue or difficulty in getting loans. Depending on how long a shutdown lasts, people could see a delay in tax refunds that they may be depending on to make ends meet. There's a wide range of ways in which people are impacted. And so, you know, I think there are serious consequences to it. I do want to be, you know, folks shouldn't think that their Medicare is going to stop or their Social Security stop, things like that. But there are a lot of important programs that cease to operate during a shutdown.
So let me ask you this, because the president tweeted out that, you know, the Democrats, they don't want this to pass and it's going to hurt our military. A second ago, you just said that, you know, this isn't going to affect the military. I don't know that people know what is going to be affected and what isn't. Again, I guess that was your job, wasn't it, deciding what got funded and what didn't a little bit?
Well, it was helping to figure out how to apply the law. Congress is what decides, you know, what gets funded and not. But, you know, when you're trying to apply the rules that Congress sets forth across the whole government, it does take a lot of work. I mean, I think that there are, you know, even for the folks that are continuing to work, they still can't actually get paid until the shutdown ends.
Right.
So there are real challenges for them, you know, people that are putting in the time and effort and don't actually know when their paycheck is going to come through. But I think also, you know, that one of the other issues that the broader issue that has to be dealt with is just how we're funding our priorities in this upcoming year. I mean, that's another issue that's on the table that hasn't gotten as much attention, which I think was what President Trump was alluding to. But rather than taking a bipartisan deal that's out there to try and make sure that we're providing funding for both our defense priorities as well as, you know, important non-defense things like combating the opioid epidemic, providing services for veterans, funding for early education, you know, rather than focusing on those sorts of things, he's basically throwing a tantrum and insisting that we have a shutdown. And it seems like the reason he's doing it is he thinks he'll benefit politically. I mean, he said that earlier. He said he thought we needed a good shutdown. And now he's recently said that he thinks it'll play well with his base. But it's unfortunate that he's putting this sort of political partisan posturing ahead of the American people, what they really need, and making sure that he's trying to address their real concerns, to address the issues that are important to them. And sadly, this is something that we've seen a lot, so we shouldn't be surprised. But I think every time that you see the president turn his back on the American people like this, you can't help but be a little surprised that he's continuing to do it.
Yeah, he's pandering to the 36%. But, you know, I saw this tweet of his that, you know, a government shutdown will be devastating to our military, something that Dems care very little about. And I'm going, you know, that is just flat wrong. And it's pointed at that 36% of the base that, you know, no matter what he says or does, they're going to fall in the line and fawn mm-hmm. over.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question the president lies. He lies all the time. And so we shouldn't be surprised. That
yeah, he reached what? Was it just the other day, this 2,000th lie?
Oh, yeah. I don't have enough time to try and keep track of all the lies, but I'll take your word, at least, you know, publicly that people bothered to check that he hit 2,000.
I think the Washington Post, you know, somebody's been tracking it, and they just came out and said he's now told his 2,000th official lie. But here's the thing. You know, you also mentioned that the government employees don't get paid until after the fact. And there are people out there like this front group, Americans for Limited Government. They're saying that the way to avoid the shutdown is on the backs of the workers. So if you do shut down, they don't get paid at all. The heck with it. Make them nothing for them. And again, you know, it's amazing to me that there are some out there who go, you know, because Republicans can't lead, because they don't believe in government, because their ability to run our government is so bad, that the workers should be the ones who suffer.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible because Congress will get paid no matter what. You know, that's required that they get their money. So the idea that somehow what's going to happen is Congress and the president cause the problem. They all get paid for the time they're sitting around not fixing it. But then it's everybody else who's just trying to, you know, come in and do their job, trying to help people. I mean, the reason people go into government, go into public services, because they want to help people. In fact, you know, one of the issues,
Are you sure about that? Because I'm looking at a lot of these Republican legislators, and I'm going, you know, I used to believe what you just said, that people went in because they believed to help people. But I've literally had Republican congressmen say that the reason they got into running was to basically strangle government. We need to restrain it. It's doing too much. We need to make it small enough, you know, drown in the bathtub.
Well,
that nonsense.
Yeah, so let me I was actually talking about a different group of people. I think a lot of times when people hear public service, they think about people that are running for office. But I'm actually talking about the career staff that work in a range of agencies, whether it be, you know, EPA or the Department of Labor, you know, people who take those jobs because they want to make the world a better place. They want to clean up our environment. They want to protect workers. They want to protect our health if they're at HHS. So those folks, you know, the reason that they get into it is to help people. And actually during shutdown, one of the biggest problems that some agencies have is that these folks still want to come into work, right? They want to show up and help people. That's why they're in this in the first place, and explain to them that legally they're prohibited from doing that. Even if they don't want to get paid, even if they want to come and volunteer, they can't. They cannot show up for work. is actually a thing that, that agencies had to pay attention to. And so the idea that, that these folks out there who want to make a difference in people's lives, who are doing this for the right reasons, but are legally prohibited from doing what they want to do, that they're the ones who aren't going to get paid, while Congress and the president, who actually caused the problem, are, I mean, it just reveals the irony here that, and really
the absurdity of the whole thing. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Thank you. The absurdity.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. If anyone should not get paid, it should be these people who've caused this. And it's not even like they need the money. I mean, that's the weird thing about it. It's just frustrating and angering. You know, last line of questioning I've got for you then. You know, how do we stop this? Is there a way to, you know, because, you know, I remember all during the Obama years, we were doing this, you know, this 24 TV show kind of ticking bomb right to the edge, you know, Friday, 11 o'clock, 11:59, we pass a deal and avert a major shutdown, and everyone breathes a sigh of relief because the end of the world isn't happening. And you go, is there a way to stop this? I mean, because look, as I said before, the way if you want to argue about spending, argue before you spend the money, not when you have to pay the bill and the bills come due. Just pay your damn bills. Just we got to get out of this somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I would say is the problem here is not really the process. The problem is the elected officials that are sent to Washington. I mean, so if you want to see less brinksmanship, then you need to vote for folks that aren't going to lead up to this. You know, I think you've seen this hard right turn, first in Congress and now in the presidency. And this is sort of what you get when you elect people that say they don't like government, they don't care about government, they don't think government does anything. You shouldn't be surprised when they turn around and shut down government, when they can't reach deals. You know, so trying to find people that are focused on compromising, real solutions, that care about the work, understand the important work that government do, and making sure those people get into office is really critical to avoiding this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But to the extent that we keep putting people in place that don't care about government, that don't believe in government, you're going to see the same sort of behavior, and you're going to see the same sort of problems. And at this point, you know, we've now seen it year after year after year. It's not going to get any better until we change the people that we're sending to Washington to represent us.
Good point. That's why I'm hoping 2018 is not only a huge Democratic wave, but also a huge wave of women being elected, because they couldn't do any worse. I mean, at this point, I'll steal a Trump line. What do we have to lose at this point?
Well, I think it's hard to argue that when you look at what the majority is doing in either the House or the Senate, that they're, you know, delivering on behalf of the American people. And so, you know, I think it's time for some fresh blood in there, and people that are really going to be focused on finding solutions, building consensus, and delivering on the issues that the American people care about.
There you go. Use your right to the term limit these bums and throw some of them out. Good stuff. Appreciate it, Sam. Good talking
with you. No problem. Good talking with you, too.
Sam Berger. He is the senior policy advisor there at the Center for American Progress. Let's take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. This is the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
They've found themselves another town where they'll make shirts for less. And that is why he said last night he won't watch the old town die. But I would not take what he tried to be when he told me goodbye. Oh, it's goodbye.